You're listening to the Cyclix podcast, your number one source for junior cycle and leaving cert tips. We make exams easier. Hi guys, and welcome back to this very special edition of the Cyclix podcast. You're listening to Nessa, the social media manager, occasional podcast host. And this particular episode is in partnership with ATU. Open evenings and open days are happening around this time of year that we're putting out this podcast. The CEO deadlines are looming. And with that, ATU are putting forward some students who have like really interesting experience about how they chose their course, or like, you know, for some students who are feeling a bit lost and kind of don't know what they do, it's quite helpful to talk to people who are like in a course that they love and can give their advice. So today I am talking to Freya, who is currently studying at ATU Sligo. You're very welcome to the podcast, Freya.
Thank you.
So we're just talking a little bit before we started recording that you have like a really interesting background. You didn't actually study, you didn't do the Leaving Cert. You are from Denmark, and that's where you did your education before you came to Ireland. So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so yeah, like you said, I did all of my education before coming here in Denmark, and I actually came here on a gap year. I was originally just meant to stay here for 3 months, but I fell in love with the place, I fell in love with Ireland, I fell in love with Sligo specifically, the people here as well. I found some really good friends, and then, like I say to people, I just kind of forgot to leave.
That's so nice. I love hearing a story about people who just like, because I think we forget to, like, when we live in Ireland, just kind of forget what's so nice about it. So it's always so lovely to hear that people are like, I couldn't leave. It was so nice. And the fact that you that you wanted to study here is just really cool. So, and the course that you're doing is super cool. Do you want to talk a little bit about it?
Yeah. So I'm doing a robotics and automation, which is the mechatronics level 8. So it is a mix between three kind of areas of engineering. So it's a mix between software engineering, so kind of computing, mechanical engineering, and electrical engineering. So you get a really good knowledge from all three parts of engineering, and then you're able to kind of bring that together to do stuff like machine programming, robotics programming, and kind of all of that stuff like that. And then I'm doing the level 8. So the level 8 makes it applicable in other countries as well. So I can take my degree once I graduate and I can travel with it.
That's amazing. And what year are you in at this stage of your course?
I'm in third year. So I just finished my first semester of third year.
Oh, perfect. And you have another year to, you've 4 years in total, is it?
Yes.
Perfect. So I saw that it was actually, the course didn't start out as robotics and automation. It's actually, you enter as an engineering course and then you choose to zone in on robotics afterwards. Is that right?
Yes. So I didn't know if I wanted to do mechanical engineering or robotics and automation. So I applied for general engineering, which puts you in. So the first year, everyone's together, doing the same classes, doing the same modules. So we kind of get all of the basis covers. We do maths, we do physics, we do chemistry, and a sort of different projects that introduces you to all of your different engineering options. And then after the first year, I picked robotics and automation.
Oh, amazing. What is your, like, what's your favorite thing about that aspect of the course? Like, that, what really drew you into that?
I love robots, and I think they're really cool. To say it kind of frankly, I've always loved like building Legos as a child and stuff like that. And I really like the idea of you developing something and then making something do what you want it to do. So the aspects that's really drawing me in is machine programming and robotics programming. And of course the project work as well.
Amazing. And like we were saying just before we started recording, that you are going off doing work placement soon. What kind of work are you going to be doing there?
Yeah, so I'm going to be going to AbbVie as an intern. So I think the official title is Automation Cooperative. And what's really great about this internship is the fact that it's not brewing coffee or making prints or just like reviewing documents. I actually get to get down into the nitty gritty and work on projects, and I follow an engineer for the first while, and then I kind of get to go off on my own and identify some issues or problems that I might be able to contribute to fix or help.
Wow, so it is proper hands-on experience that is very relevant
is,
when you're looking for a job once you graduate then. That's brilliant. Because yeah, I did an internship once before. That was very making tea and coffee. And I was like, what am I actually doing here? So that's absolutely amazing. Going back to that, I know you didn't go the traditional route of like doing the Leaving Cert before you did a university course in Ireland. But this, like the focus of this podcast is like helping students who can't figure out what it is they want to do, or like they might be interested in something like robotics and automation. So like, can you kind of talk through your process of how you chose your course and maybe like what are the kind of questions that sixth years should be asking themselves now for what they want to be doing?
Yeah, so I think a mistake that I made, which other people can learn from, was that I never went to an open day. I never went up and asked any questions to any people that was doing the course that I wanted to do. So I actually ended up putting down on my CAO application, I put down law and business as my first choice.
So different. Wow.
And I put down, exactly, yeah. And I put down engineering as my second choice. And that was kind of brewing in my head for a really long time, thinking about what do I want to do after college. And I've always had an interest in law, but with the combination of business, I wasn't really sure that that's really what I wanted to do for me personally. And then I remember I was sitting at a festival and two of my friends were building a solar panel. And I was like, wait, this is kind of really cool. And then I was like, maybe I should switch my priorities. Maybe I should go in and switch on my CAO, and switch it to engineering. And so like 15 minutes before change of mind deadline, I went in and I switched to engineering. Yeah. I switched to engineering,
right,
general
down to
engineering.
The wire.
And yeah. And I'm so happy I did so. Like, I'm so grateful that I kind of listened to my gut and kind of thought about what do I want out of this rather than what sounds nice on a diploma or like what have I been saying for forever that I want to do. So I kind of made a spur of the moment decision and I picked engineering and I'm so happy I did so.
That's brilliant. That is wild that it was so last minute.
Yeah.
It nearly feels like fate in a way that just occurred to
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
And I made a video for ATU recently and it was basically kind of like anything I would say to students who are a bit lost about like what they want to do if they're in sixth year and they don't know what to do. Like, what do you like? Go back to like the things that you find cool and interesting and just like tap into those interests as best as you can, because that's where you'll actually, you have to like what you do. It's like if
Absolutely.
You're struggling with it, it's going to be. It's going to be a tough 4 years, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's important that you do what you want to do and not what your mom wants you to do or your dad wants you to do or what all of your friends are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, if you have the privilege to do absolutely you want to do in life, like, take that opportunity. And you mentioned, like, one of your regrets there was, like, not going to an open day. But you yourself now, as a student, has been at open days and you're helping future students figure out what they want to do. So with that in mind, like, what do you think are, like, the important questions the students should be asking at open days?
Yeah, so I think, the important questions really, depends on the individual. Because it's what you want to know. It's what you think that you haven't gotten enough information on. But what I think it's really good about open days is that it's students. So it's not someone with a marketing degree that has learned how to write down a course so it sounds nice and put it up on a website. It is students with real life experience, and we will tell you the truth. We won't give you like a polished version of it. We'll tell you what's actually going on and we'll give you the advice that you need in order to kind of, you know, make your decision. There's a lot of people that come up to me that say that they want to study engineering level 8, and I ask them if they like going to school. Like, do you like school? And then they'll say, no, I hate school. And I say, then maybe a level 8 engineering is not your like faith,
for you,
but we have a lot of great apprentices as well. So you can actually do a level 7 civil engineering as an apprentice now. And there's more and more of that stuff coming in. So it's about making the right decisions for you and like asking the questions that's really nagging at you. And a great, like, just ask what you want to know and we'll give you an answer.
Yeah, that's a good thing to remember, is that like that's why like students are always there, because students are your peers. They're only like a few years older than you. Like you can ask like the silly questions, like, okay, you can ask about your course, and then you're like, okay, like, but what's like the nightlife like here, you know, or like what are the clubs like, or what clubs are you a part of? Which brings me on to my next point. Like, what, tell me about like the culture of ATU. Like, you live in Sligo, obviously you said you loved it so much that you couldn't leave. Like, what if someone's going to ATU Sligo, like what could they expect from like the general student life there?
Yeah, so compared to like, say if you compare it to Trinity in Dublin, ATU Sligo or ATUs in general are quite small campuses and quite small colleges, which is amazing, I think, because that means that you actually have a relationship with your lecturers. So yes, they all know who you are. I know who they are. And if you have a question or something that you do not understand, they will sit down, have a cup of coffee with you and explain it to you. In first year, there was a grade that I didn't understand why I got, and a lecturer sat down and spent 45 minutes going through why I got the grade that I got and wow, explained it to me so that I could understand. And at a place like Trinity, that wouldn't really happen because there's so many people there that they wouldn't have time to do so, completely understandably.
Of course.
And we also focus a lot, because it's a technological university, we focus a lot on hands-on experience. So there's a lot of labs involved. It's half theoretical, half theory. One day you're sitting in a lecture learning something, and the next day you're in a lab actually using it. So amazing. I think that's kind of two things that really describe what it's like to attend ATU Sligo.
That's interesting, because like I've done a few of these interviews, and my colleague Luke has done them too with like ATU students, and that comes up on like without fail every single time, that like the lecturer to student ratio and getting that like kind of more concentrated attention is their favorite thing about the course. So it's so interesting to see that is so consistent, that is really appreciated. So just really nice. And we were talking a little bit before as well, like your course or your degree is an engineering one, and generally speaking those are quite male dominated courses and fields, because of just progression, like women don't have felt for years that wasn't for them. So can you talk a little bit about that? Like, I assume there are more like men than women on your course, and like what's being kind of done around that?
Yeah, so there is a lot more men than there is women. But I think that also has its positive sides. Like, for good or for bad, I stand out automatically, right? Because I'm like long hair, wearing a dress. But I also think that helps a lot with like the one-to-one kind of ratio with the like lecturers and stuff like that. Like, they all know who I am, they're all aware, and they also all know that I work my ass off.
Yeah.
And if people don't know who you are, they can't really recommend you job opportunities come up and stuff like that. So I think that's one really, really good thing. And then the second one is that like lads are kind of really nice to be around. There's no like, oh, she said, he said, whatever. It's just kind of the way that it is, and there's no buzzing around it and stuff like that. And then also the friendships that you then form with the other women kind of like, it makes you really stick together, and a lot very meaningful connections. So one of my good friends, Julia, has actually started a Women in Tech Society. So me, her, and a bunch of other great women are helping starting that up. It's running for the first time this year. And it's just kind of to help all of us women in technology to kind of stick together and develop a network, so that we can help each other out. And I think that's a beautiful thing that's come out of us working in a male-dominated field. It's not that big of a deal. I think it's very important that it shouldn't put people off. It shouldn't put girls off that wants to do engineering thinking, oh no, they'll only be like boys. It's not that deep.
Yeah.
like that almost sounds kind of cruel, But it's very important that you don't let something like that come in the way of you doing great things with your life.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And I nearly didn't expect you to like rattle off advantages of that, of like, oh, you actually stand out, or like you find support in the smaller communities, like you said, your friends starting out that community. So that's like absolutely amazing to hear. And I'm fully in agreement now, like that actually sounds like such a benefit to have it that way. So yeah, any like girls or women listening to this and thinking, oh, I'm afraid of doing an engineering course because I'll be the only girl, like, no, it actually sounds like you're just going to enter into the most wholesome community.
I don't want to make it sound completely rosy and pink, because obviously there are some issues with it, but I think that there's like, I think women experience sexism no matter where we are, but I think that sometimes it comes across a lot clearer when you're the only woman in the room. Right. And the only real issues I've ever experienced is lecturers overcompensating and trying to make me comfortable in their class, because they want to make me feel like I can be there and like I belong there. So they end up overcompensating, which I think is kind of sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there's no harm kind of meant there. Yeah. That's so interesting.
Exactly.
Coming back to your course then, like I know you're doing your work placement soon. Is that what you're hoping to do afterwards, like that area of robotics, or in general, I guess, what are the companies, what are the jobs that people can do once they have that degree?
Yeah, so there's a lot of job opportunities. I'm hoping to, when I get onto my work placement, it's a 7-month long work placement, and that's going to give me a really good idea of what the field is like. So yeah. Depending on how I like working on the field, I'm either going to continue, hopefully that job, if I do well, they'll hire me for a fourth year and then permanently afterwards, or I'm going to go into a master's. So this degree also opens up to a lot of different masters that you can do. And because it's three different types of engineering all put together, you can kind of draw on all three different fields when you specialize in your master's. But there's a bunch of different opportunities, like even going in, if you choose the level 7s, they come out as fully qualified technicians. So you have that on top of when you're doing a level 7. And a level 8, the job opportunities are kind of endless, because it's such a new field, and it's so, like, we develop things all the time and the field is developing. So a lot of different companies need some expertise on what's going on in the world, technology-wise. Mm. So it's, you can kind of do all sorts of different things. It depends on your interest. So my interest is automation and machine programming. So that's what I want to do. But there's a lot of people who really bond with the electrical side of it. So going in and developing like all sorts of electrical circuits. And then there's the mechanical side of it as well, where you can, like, again, it's a lot of development.
Mm. Yeah, actually, when like I learned that your course was like robotics and automation, I feel like this is me not knowing a lot about engineering, but I was thinking like, yeah, that's quite niche. But yeah, what you're describing is actually an incredibly broad scope. And I was talking to a career guidance counselor that we work with often about this, like, what are the jobs that people should be looking for in this day and age? Because, you know, like some jobs are getting lost because of AI and all these things, and other fields are kind of developing, and they're developing quicker and they need people to do this. So that kind of, it sounds like it's a good job anyway for kind of keeping in touch with the developing future, by the sounds of it. Would that be right?
Absolutely.
Is very up to date. Amazing. Well, I think that's all of my questions for you, Freya. Thank you so much for joining me on the StoicLix podcast, and hopefully our chat like made anyone listening who's a bit lost or confused about what course they want to do, made them just kind of think about different factors to consider when what course they're going to be doing for the next 3 or 4 years. So, and I think you painted a really good picture of Sligo, so if anyone is thinking of going there, they definitely should check it out. But definitely, as Freya mentioned, go to the open days, ask the questions, like if you're feeling a bit lost, like that's one of the best things that you can do. Freya, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. It's lovely to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lovely. All right, we'll leave it there. Chat to you guys next time. Bye.